I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena!
Well, look at this, prima donna!
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot!
Welcome everybody to 1-900 Wrestling. My name is Willie Dills. I'm joined by Lane the Main, and we have some quite big news to discuss today on the show. Before we get started, though, I do want to remind everybody that if you want to participate in the 1-900 Wrestling Discord, or if you want to support the show just because you like the show, the way to do that is patreon.com/1-900-Wrestling. It helps us build a wrestling fund to allow us to go to wrestling shows and then present audio blogs to you guys, as well as just describe shows from a live perspective. So that's the way to do it if you do want to support the show. But before we get too deep, we just gotta get it out what happened, because so you texted me.
You were at work.
Yeah, I was working. I had a
like a bombshell.
I had a sudden if someone called in sick, and we don't have a lot of people, so I last minute had to go to work, which means I didn't get to watch this live. So when you texted me, like when I go to work at
phone's
the
off.
Wyndham Bar, my phone I set down, and it's just not in my pocket, right? And I'm generally doing stuff. And every now and then I'll go over and I'll check it out. And we have a Pokemon stop there, so sometimes I pick it up and spin it. So I think it was actually heading over to do some Pokemoning, and I pick it up and I got a text from you. And I was just like, holy crap, are you serious? So
when anything happens serious, I now send it to you when you're at work. Sure. Cause I know like that'll be, and of course that is Roman Reigns announcing he doesn't just have leukemia now. He had it. What is it? 10
he's had
years
it for
ago?
11 years,
11 years ago. And we've never heard of this. This is why it took us by storm. This is the first anyone's ever heard about him even having it. And of course we don't expect him to tell everyone or,
sure,
like not even a hint, and that means people close to him, man. And to start out, and
well, I mean, obviously, everybody else, like the wrestlers, knew. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that, well, not all of them, but I'm pretty sure like the Shield guys knew. It was very
the
obvious to them.
Team, you can tell, had no idea.
Yeah,
because they were coming out saying like he's going to say something like he's going to be ready for Crown Jewel. He must be talking about like, and I know, and this is from me within the company. Some commentators don't want to know what's going on. I think JR wanted to not know anything about the matches. He just wanted to know.
He wanted to call them as they happened. And
yeah, like his shoot reaction. He had no idea, because that you get a genuine reaction out of that. And so he opened the show with this. And I think, I don't care what you thought. And in this promo too, he goes by his real name. He refers to Roman Reigns as a character. His name's Joe. And basically, your reaction was the reaction of the whole wrestling community. If you don't like Roman Reigns as a character,
I think that pretty much was. So here's the thing: he comes out in street clothes to his normal chorus of boos, right?
Yep.
When I was at Hell in a Cell, I mean, I remember him coming out number 30 at the Royal Rumble in San Antonio and the reaction there. When he comes out at Hell in a Cell, it was just insane just how loud the boos are. And like, we've gotten to a point now where the people just hate Roman Reigns' push. They hate the character. And I think, though, and we've talked a lot about this on the show, me and Justin, that, you know, at this point, like, if you don't like the push, fair enough, but it's really impossible this, because it used to be that people would try to say that he just wasn't a good wrestler. And at this point, that is just completely false. Like, we can see now he's had a ton of good matches. Maybe early on when in this push, he wasn't quite ready to be what he was being, which was a main eventer in WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, year after year after year. But by the end of this, like, he's been, you know, to me, he's been one of the guys who's carried a bunch of matches, put on some of the best matches, gotten the best out of a lot of the people that he's wrestled. And I would say this even before, when I wasn't a big Roman Reigns fan as a wrestler, right? And you know, but within all of that, throughout all of that, yeah, you could never deny that he was very clearly a guy who loved the business, loved the people he worked with, was a locker room leader, like a la Undertaker back in the day. You know, he was just a guy who was just there for the business and there for everybody around him. And he's had some bad luck with injuries in the past. But this is, you know, this is just crazy. Just to think that for 11 years he's had this and been, you know, this on top of his game as far as athleticism is concerned, as far as, you know, he's one of the most in shape guys in the locker room by a long shot. And that just kind of speaks to work ethic for him.
And he's not the writer. And that's what some people like can't separate. He's not the one writing how his character
goes.
He
didn't decide this. Yeah, exactly. He's
a character
in
a story that we are invested in. And if you don't like the way it's written, you don't get to the actor. Like, you don't go to Guardians of the Galaxy and say, like, hey, I don't like the actor. They're not the one in charge.
Yeah, if you didn't like Luke Skywalker and Last Jedi, you didn't say Mark Hamill sucks, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, like, and that's what with Roman Reigns, with this, we were completely blindsided. And I'm glad you brought it up, the crowd of boos. And this promo ended with roaring affection.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, no chance. And that's what you said with this promo, too. Start out with boos. Halfway through, everyone was like, oh my gosh, this
stunned silence, right? For a little bit. Yeah.
And I could feel, and there's still some people out there that think this, and I really hope this isn't true. I think this is a shoot. I think this is completely real. He wouldn't go by his real name.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to the owner of the wrestling company I help out with. I said, is there anything that ever broke kayfabe more than this? He said the curtain call, but I think he said his real name. He even said the character Roman Reigns, and that was something. But
because even like Daniel Bryan's retirement speech was very much, you know, I'm not a wrestler anymore. It's the thing I always wanted to do. Yeah. There was no real kayfabe breaking at that point. I mean, his character is him. Roman is Roman Reigns when his name isn't even Roman Reigns, right? So it's like,
is this the first time something like this? Not like an injury, but like a disease. I know with some, like, we got Vader a few years ago with that, but like, someone,
I mean,
working, employed,
a completely unrelated disease, probably not that I can remember. Obviously, I mean, there's been horrible moments. I mean, who was it? Was it who's the Japanese wrestler who headbutted?
I know who you're talking
Okada.
About
is it Shibata?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and you know, it's like immediately, like everything, his career is just over. You know, I was at the G1 special,
say, like in the biz, it's not ballet.
Injuries
happen.
Yeah.
But this is something wrestling didn't affect.
No, he was fine as far as a wrestling injury would, you know, but it's when you have cancer, and this is a very special kind of cancer. This is cancer of the blood. I mean, leukemia is crazy. The fact that, you know, so the story apparently is that at 22, he was trying to become a professional football player. Mm-hmm. And that's when leukemia kind of reared its ugly head for the first time. And that essentially ended his football career. And he had to switch gears, and he had to figure out how to become, you know, because you can get essentially what happens with leukemia is you can get it into remission to the point where it no longer shows up in your system when you're tested. Right. Which means like it's still there. It's dormant, but it's not showing up as actively attacking your blood. Right. The fact that it showed back up means it is now active. And this is always a thing with cancer. It can always come back no matter how long you've been fighting, no matter how long you've been healthy. And so essentially it's come back. It is like destroying his blood cells from within. It's just a crazy, crazy form of cancer. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine living with that knowledge and being a wrestler for, you know, the past decade, being at the top of the sport and then having it all suddenly ripped away from you again. And maybe he thought he had beaten it completely, you know? Like, this has just got to be devastating. I feel devastated for him, you know, because, you know, this is not fair, man. Like, this is not fair.
And this is why I love the wrestling community. And this is why I love being on this podcast. Like, this guy, like we said, I don't care if you don't care the way he's booked. But as the guy, we got New Japan. We got wrestlers in Ring of Honor. Everyone coming out for Roman Reigns saying, like, we're thinking of you. We're praying for you. Of course, everyone in the WWE. But think, like, the competitors of the company respect this man enough. This is one what is it, Tama Tonga, mm-hmm. from Bullet Club.
Yeah,
they joke with him a lot. They make a lot of promos. I remember they did a Roman Reigns salute when I was at Starcast, and they just flipped the bird. Funny, whatever. Like they send out like, hey, out of all the jokes we make, we hope you get better. Like mm-hmm. we respect you enough as a guy, and that's one thing too. Like I don't care. Like his wrestling is good, and he's one of the top guys. But he's not a Five Moves of Doom. He's not what you think. And it's just the respect this guy has. And now with this, and this set the mood of the night. Would you agree? Like mm-hmm. this easily.
It was crazy that they decided to start the show with this, by the way.
Yeah.
Because that to me, it's like, that's a pretty ballsy move from the WWE to say, we're going to start our premiere show with an announcement of a wrestler, of our top guy, our Universal Champion, telling everybody that he has, like, that leukemia has come back.
I think they kind of had to.
This is a booking decision. They didn't have to do, but we're going to talk about some stuff that happened later in the show. Like, they didn't. Yeah. There's lots of ways you could have attacked this, obviously.
This, for me, is 2 weeks, Crown Jewel on that Friday, November 2nd, I think is what it is. He was supposed to defend the title, so this is trying to get him out, trying to push it. But we'll talk. Okay. So the end of the promo, Rollins and Ambrose come out, do the Shield, and they are physically,
you know, visibly upset. Like Rollins is like actually crying. Ambrose is looking like, you know, he doesn't know how to be, you know, it was a pretty gripping moment. And then at the end, like they just walk us. How do you even end that segment? Like, what do you do? Yeah, it was one of those moments where like wrestling, became very like, you know, like the wrestling wasn't about the wrestling anymore. It was about the human beings that bring us these shows every single week, right? And something terrible happening to one of, you know, that family. I mean, I think that locker room is, and wrestling it has to be, is a family. Because imagine like every night you're essentially putting the other person's safety in your hands, right? Like you're putting your own safety in the guy you're working with's hands every single time.
Do you know the WWE schedule, like their traveling schedule?
Yeah. They're like 300 days a year.
So here's what's during the week. So Thursday night, there's a flight, shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday. According, if you're on SmackDown, come home Tuesday, you get Wednesday off, then you're on the flight again Thursday.
And then you're back out.
Then you're back out. Yeah. So you're usually flying in Tuesday.
So, they spend more time with each other than their families. Yeah. They spend more time than anything. That becomes their family. Their traveling family.
And this is making national news because, like you said, this has became – it's not entertainment anymore. This is real life. Like this – Daniel Bryan was a crowd favorite, and I that hit so hard. But because people love Daniel Bryan. With Roman Reigns, it was a little different. People didn't really like him. And now it's just like – people are saying when he comes back, there's going to be they're going to cheer for him. Now, like, it is the ultimate face turn that I don't want to happen.
Yeah. Well, so here's the interesting thing, too, is that throughout all of this time that he's been pushed and been getting not the reaction they were looking for, never once did they decide to use this as an angle. Mm-hmm. Like, this was completely hidden away. I had no idea. I don't think anybody really had any inkling. And it's crazy to think that nobody had an idea that this had happened, because in general, at this point in time, the wrestlers' lives are kind of an open book in a way that they never have been before. You know, think about like the Hardy brothers and their, you know, the documentary that was on the WWE Network about them, where they're talking about DUIs and drug use and all the things that they're doing.
Just one time.
Sure. But I mean, they're not pulling any punches. They're not holding back. Yeah. They're not pretending things didn't happen. Right. Somehow this was kept under wraps for 11 years. And I always assumed there was an injury. Like, I just thought it was like a knee injury or something that made him switch from football to wrestling.
Yeah. And think all those football people could have released this. This is something that no one really knew. And maybe they just didn't think it would care. But this is just a kept secret that, man, this hurts. This is not. I may actually buy a Shield shirt, man, because this has hurt my soul.
Yeah, you know, I play the Roman Reigns music every time someone subs or becomes the bit boss in my channel, and now it's just like gonna bring out a
tears.
It's gonna be sad every time I hear that damn music. It's crazy. So look, I had a lot of respect for him before this. just to know what he's been dealing with, though, like, just, man, you just can't not have respect for this guy at this point. And a lot of people, it's funny because I've seen some people start their tweets with, oh, I wasn't a fan of Roman Reigns, the character. And it's just, it's so funny how, you know, that's the prevailing thought, is they like, we have to, like, now wrestle with the fact that we booed this man for 11 years while he was, like, secretly fighting against something that is incredibly difficult to deal with. So
you think they'll use it as a storyline now?
I mean, you can't hide it at this point, right? Yeah. Obviously, when he comes back, it's going to be a hopefully, if he comes back. I mean, who knows how bad it is.
Back for, like, spots and appearances. Like, I just, they feel like,
I hope that he just comes back 100%. I hope that he just beats the crap out of this and comes back. But, you know, obviously with cancer, you don't know. We've come a long way medically. I've had a history of people in my family having cancer, and it is rough, to say the least. But it's better than it used to be. And he's obviously going to have the best available to him. But this is a tricky one, man. It's a tricky one, dude. It's a real, real tricky one. All right, so that's we've decided to open our show the same way they did with the biggest news of the week.
So the clip ends, the promo ends with the Shield.
Yeah.
Then they cut to the commentary team.
Yeah.
More tears.
Yeah. Well, Graves looked like he was just in utter disbelief and just completely just broken. It was just very emotional for everybody. But Raw must continue, right?
Show must go on.
I feel real bad for Finn Balor having to be the next guy out, right? Because it's like, right after that, then he's got to come out. He's got his cool leather jacket on. He's doing his thing. And, you know, and I think it was the right move to have somewhat of a feel-good-ish match next, which is Finn Balor just beating up on Bobby Lashley and,
dirty pin.
Well, sure. But I mean, you know, the face gets the win.
Ooh, yeah.
You get to hate the heel. You got Leo Rush out there doing his Lashley chants and everything.
Do you like Leo Rush? What is your review on the Leo Rush?
Well, I saw Leo Rush live at Wrestle Circus a long time ago, and he was amazing. It was a ladder match with him. It was Shane Strickland. I think Sammy Guevara was in it. It was like a 6-man ladder match or something like that. And there was just insane spot after insane spot. And Leo Rush was amazing. So I was all about this guy. When he got brought into NXT, I was very excited for him. Then, of course, he had the unfortunate tweet situation.
Good job. That was great.
But, you know, to me, like, and we talked about it on the show, I said, he's a really young guy who was trying to be funny and it didn't come across 22? Correctly.
He's my age.
Yeah,
almost,
he's
right?
Young. He's super young. So I think this heel turn with him and Lashley has worked out great. So I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of
this. I think he's doing good because I hate him.
He's getting a palpable response.
In the match with Lashley and he's yelling on that microphone.
Yeah.
I just wanted him to shut up because I'm like, I'm trying to watch wrestling, but I'm like, wait, I think that's what he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And he's friends with some of my friends and they said, like, he's hilarious and everything like that. And I think from his promos, if you watch some of his promos, he is really funny. But I just think he's great right now. I hate him.
No, he's doing great.
Because, like, he's doing so good.
So you remember what was the team with Titus? My God. And they used to have a hype man like this, too.
Him and the guy got released with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Chat.
Titus Worldwide is not the thing that I'm thinking of, but they used to have it and they had a guy doing this, right? Man, this feels like it's not that long ago. Darren Young was his partner. Young. What were they called? They were called the Primetime Players.
Primetime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars.
They brought him back for like a hot minute. Remember when he was?
Well, they had him separate, and Titus was the heel, and Darren Young was the face, and then Darren Young never quite caught on. Remember, he had a weird little thing with Bob Backlund for a little bit.
I love that.
Yeah,
it was The Miz and Bob Backlund like ripped his shirt off.
It was a strange pairing, but it was super entertaining. Anyway, they used to have a valet guy who would do a similar thing where that during the matches he would be yelling stuff out. But apparently, like, he yelled like some racist stuff or something that just kind of went over the line or something like that, and they ended up firing the guy. And I'm kind of surprised that they're giving this a go again, you know? I mean, that means they must trust Leo Rush a little bit.
Have you heard the rumor with Leo Rush? Have you heard the earpiece rumor?
The earpiece. Oh, has he got Vince in his ear? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, he's got Vince in the ear.
All right.
And you can tell you've been watching wrestling for a while. Yeah. It's the rumor is that Vince is telling him every single word.
Okay.
And so I caught the earpiece. So when he was getting Finn to run out, and then Finn follows him into this clothesline that Lashley murders him.
Yeah.
That you see the earpiece. And I'm like, oh, there it was.
Okay. Like, all right. Well, that makes sense.
That's a rumor. It could be Finley in the back. It could be Road. It could be anybody. But we don't know. But that match, it was good.
It was fun. I'm sure they have a long ways to go with this. It's funny to me that Finn is like fighting these just giant guys and they're having him actually compete with them.
Him half shows, man.
Yeah, we go. Finn's got it rough because he's so damn small. He's like, it's hard to find a guy for him. Right. Ruby Riott defeated Sasha Banks next, where you had the Riott Squad out there. And you know, you obviously had I don't know, what are they calling Sasha Banks's crew? Do they have, I mean,
it's, I don't know.
They don't really have a name for them.
I think they're just putting them together to use for Evolution.
Sure.
This Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad it's happening like this.
They're having a six woman match, right? That's the
And it just feels like they're trying to use everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, who we got that's left over? Who we'll put you guys together. Like the tag titles, is that this? Did they officially announce that, or is that still a rumor?
The tag titles, you mean our new tag champions?
No, for the women.
Oh, the women. Oh, I don't think that's actually been officially announced yet. Yeah.
Well, they can move forward. Like, that could be a thing because you could have the Riott Squad with the Freebird rule, but.
Yeah. By the way, Clinch in the chat says their manager was Abraham Washington. He's talking about primetime players. He was released after making a controversial Kobe comment.
You don't make them Kobe.
Kobe is so controversial.
We just stay away from that Kobe.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Finn Balor, he rolled up, pinned, and then Sasha Banks. And who goes over in that? You said the Sasha Banks name?
Ruby Riott.
Okay.
Defeat Sasha. Yeah. And it was a fun match. But I think at this point, I'm still kind of stunned from everything that's happened before. It's kind of funny. Like, it suddenly starts to feel like a regular Raw episode, and yet you can't not think about what's already happened at this point. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy of like, we got three more hours of show, and I guess I'm watching that.
It keeps like before the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
They're like,
oh yeah, they don't stop.
Tweets from people.
Sure.
Yeah.
It permeates the whole night at this point. You get Triple H and Shawn Michaels come out. They talk about nostalgia. They talk about their upcoming match against Kane and Undertaker. So at this moment in time, I'm thinking, okay, Crown Jewel is happening. Like, isn't this essentially the go home Raw? Is there one more?
There's one more.
So, okay.
This is Evolution.
But we're running out of Raws, right?
And then, so this Sunday's Evolution, and this Friday, but next Friday, November 2nd.
But I mean, it's just crazy to me to just see Shawn Michaels in the ring talking about freaking wrestling, dude. I'm still so shocked by this.
And it's hard to watch these promos because you're like, is this going to happen?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
We know it's going to happen. Hopefully, we just don't know where or when. But. Yeah. Or, well, we know when, but we just don't know where. But, yeah, see, and then those shirts, man, those DX shirts are sweet.
Oh, hell yeah. DX is always going to get a pop, and everyone's going to have fun with it. I'm still a little concerned about this match, though.
I think Triple H and probably Kane will carry it because they're the.
Yeah, they can still do stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the more fit of the old guys.
Yes, sure.
Like, they're the, Sean will probably do like a spot or like the go home.
He'll hit a sweet chin music. You know,
Don't hurt the mayor either. I got that sign behind me. Don't hurt him.
Yeah.
With that chest hair just staring at you. You can't go let him go back to office.
And then we had a quick angle promo, whatever. It was fine.
Good.
Talking about
it's real good.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. And it makes me excited to see him like talk about his belief in himself that he really believes he can win this thing. Talking about who's going to be in it, hyping it up. Again, though, this World Cup thing is just kind of, it's like, okay, get these guys out there and have them all have
good
matches.
Have you noticed the crown, like, they're not saying where it is?
They stopped saying Saudi Arabia all the time. They definitely still like saying Crown Jewel.
Yeah, because Greatest Royal Rumble, they talked about it.
Oh, constantly.
Oh, my gosh. We heard, in Saudi Arabia, the first time ever, whatever. And now it's like,
Crown Jewel. Yeah. Which we'll talk about a little bit more in a second. But then we had what it was essentially... an Elias face turn?
Question mark.
So he has a match with Apollo. And I can't even remember now who won that match. Did Apollo win that match? Sure. No, I think Elias won the match, didn't he? Yeah, Elias wins the match.
Hulu didn't catch that one, so I didn't really watch it.
But Elias won. Elias. Like, had interrupted his song or whatever. And then he wants to come out and he wants to sing a song again. And then Baron Corbin comes out and tells him, no, you work for me. You don't get to do this. And then Elias hits him with a guitar. We got ourselves an Elias Baron Corbin feud.
Good promo. Man, that show last night was so good.
It really was.
Every promo was perfect. Baron Corbin delivered the line about, I would fire you. And man, I'm so glad that hairline's gone like that.
Yeah, he
like
looks much way, so good. It's a way better look for him than the lone wolf look that he had.
It could
for a while.
Be an Elias face turn, or it could just be a heel. But and we know why they would do this face turn. They got a shake up. The first promo of the show, your champion, the one you've been pushing forever, can't continue.
Sure.
And he drops the belt. If we didn't talk about that too. So he drops the belt.
Oh, yeah. I guess we didn't mention that he relinquished the title, but that was,
Implied. He's no longer wrestling. So you got to do a shift. And we'll talk about more tonight. There was a lot of little turns.
There's a lot of shifting.
A lot of turns, a lot of things that you can tell, like, maybe they did know, maybe they didn't know. But now, because of Roman's being gone, they got to do stuff. And that's, if they turn the Elias face, I think he's over. He's like Rusev.
He is over, but he's also over because people love to boo the hell out of him when he makes fun of their sports team, though, right? So, like, if you take that away, does the character work as well? I guess I'm curious to see now. Because he can also do...
Like if his song's like a face song?
Well, you can imagine him doing, like, remember the rock shows thing that he would do where he'd come out and, like, sing guitar and make fun of somebody? I could see him doing stuff like that.
Like make fun of the opponent.
Yeah. Instead of like roasting the city, he just roasts the opponent that he's about to face, right?
Sure.
So yeah. And if he really goes in, then I could definitely see it work. I mean, if he starts talking about Baron Corbin's stomach looks like a face or whatever, or if he starts talking about stuff could happen there. So it's, I don't know, it's all very interesting. We've been for months now, everyone's been talking, all the Smarks love Elias, and everything he seems to do works really well. So I don't imagine suddenly that just stops working, but
yeah,
it's interesting. Now let's see. Oh, Ronda Rousey and the Bella Twins had their contract signing, which featured very little violence for a contract signing. One slap and Ronda Rousey acts like a badass and just walks away.
I think that proved a point because Ronda talked about like her word, but the Bellas could have done something. Yeah. But it was kind of like, because they didn't do anything, it was like they did something.
Sure. And also I think it set up Ronda as like, they're scared of her. They kind of tried something, but they weren't going to go full on because if they really start to try to beat her up, she's going to even against two of them.
I'm glad you brought that up.
And Ronda did. And as Clinch mentions, Ronda promised not to do anything if they came into the ring and signed the contract.
She promised. Yeah. And this whole Roman Reigns with everything going on with the announcement, it made me think about Ronda during this segment. As the fans, when lines get blurred, we automatically love the person. So when Roman Reigns, with this announcement, we're like, we feel you. And I think that's why we love Ronda secretly so much, is because we don't believe Ronda as a character. We believe Ronda the person. We know that's a real name. She's a real life fighter. So that's why I think we kind of gravitate. And plus, she's not too bad in the ring. She's better than some of the roster that's been on there forever. But I think that's why we like fans really get behind her. I think she's only been wrestling less than a year.
Well, compare her to say the Divas of 10 years ago. And
she's been wrestling longer than me.
Yeah.
Or shorter than me.
Yeah. Sure.
And of course she's been trained a lot better and more than me.
She's been training and fighting for a very long time, but this is a different animal.
You probably had to train her to dial it back. Like, hey, don't lay on that arm bar too much. Don't stiff.
Well, how to throw a punch that looks realistic, but isn't. That's and a skill in itself.
Don't do that strong style. Don't shoot on somebody. But but I think that's why people like Ronda so much, is like she was impressive in the ring.
Yeah,
we get her with that. Who we are getting is Ronda Rousey as the person, and that's what I really like about her.
Yeah, and all of the stuff between her and the Bellas has been really good, and they're also doing the whole they're doing the social media feud going as well. It's been pretty great. I'm very excited to watch that match. Although I don't imagine Nikki has a freaking chance in the world.
I hope Ronda breaks that. Well, not really breaks.
But just destroys her, right? Like, I think that'll be a fun moment for
like
everybody.
A squash. Just a good old squash.
So then we had a fatal four-way, which I think was just to promote the, there's going to be a battle royal, right? A women's battle royal evolution. So this was essentially, okay, these are some of the women who are going to participate in that, which is a way to get all the rest of the women onto the show. Ember Moon is very clearly being showcased as one of the top threats in the women's division, and she should be.
Her wedding, I think she got married like a week or two ago.
Oh, did she really?
D&D themed wedding.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The one thing that worries me about Ember Moon is her finisher, man. It is
over the moon.
But she just lands on her butt real hard from the top rope.
Hey, and Matt Hardy.
I know, with the fused pelvis and stuff like that. I'm like, man, how long can you do this move? It doesn't seem like something that will last. All right, so let's see. I think now we're into the main event, which is the meat of what we got to talk about.
Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar promo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Paul Heyman came out and did the promo. Yeah.
That tears, you dried up them tears from the beginning. Well, Paul Heyman opens up the fountains back again.
Sure.
He talks about what, like Roman's great, him as a guy. And he blurred the lines too, like Roman, the character, but Joe as the guy, man. And then it was, you can tell Paul is an absolute freaking pro because he segues to like, Roman's great, but you know who sucks? Braun Strowman. And then, right.
But we got to talk about the main event, which was a tag match for the titles.
Yeah.
And so it was a really, really freaking good match, too. By the way, wait, did we not talk about how Braun got Claymore kicked by
he got decimated
by Drew McIntyre as well? Yeah.
Yeah. It was in the beginning.
There's so many damn things that happened in this Raw. It's crazy.
Well, Braun face turned during that promo.
Sure.
Like that he's going to, and that's why a lot of people think he's going to go over, but well, we'll see.
I hope so, man. Yeah. I'd love to see
when that. When did he came out with who? Like during, when did he get Claymore kick that decimated him?
He was coming out during the, man, what segment was that? Holy crap. There's just like so much damn stuff that happened. It was like right after the whole thing.
It was during the Paul Heyman thing.
Yeah.
And he gets, when he's saying like, I'm going to take you down. Roman Reigns, like I respect him. Like he's going face. And then, man, he gets his head taken off by McIntyre, and it is
McIntyre
gorgeous.
From behind, just completely destroys in one claim. It sets up how strong that finisher is, too. By the way,
yeah,
which I love. Like they're setting up McIntyre to be just a friggin' monster, and I love it. So anyway, we get another amazing match between these guys because every single Ziggler McIntyre versus Shield match has just been off the charts good. And we get another super, super good one, culminating in the Shield winning the Raw tag team titles. And
with help from Braun, Braun comes out, runs McIntyre off.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, and like the crowd clearly really wanted, by the way, they did cut a promo in the back, Ambrose and Rollins, saying that they were going to do it for Roman. And then they did it for Roman. I'm curious because this was an interesting moment where I feel like I missed some stuff because I've only watched this Raw once. I really want to go back and just watch the entirety of the post-match situation again.
Yeah.
Because there was
a lot going on.
There was stuff that I think was not, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of times in wrestling, everything is super big and over dramatic and they make sure you don't miss anything. Right. Mm-hmm. But here we had them saying lines to each other that were somewhat muffled.
I couldn't. Yeah.
You know, and it was clear that like something was said, like Rollins said something and Ambrose kind of changed, like his facial expression changed a little bit.
I caught a little bit of one. So we're talking about. So what happened?
So Ambrose, after they win the titles, they're celebrating, you know, they're in the ring. They both are holding, you know, Rollins has two titles now because he's got the Intercontinental title and Ambrose now has his title and they're hugging and everything and some stuff happens. But what did you catch right there?
So I caught after the stuff happens when spoiler alert, Ambrose
turns.
Ambrose turns. Was it Dirty Deeds?
Yeah. He hits him. Yeah. As soon as they separate from a hug, he kicks him, hits him with a Dirty Deeds, like a really, really well sold one as well. And the crowd just immediately in shock.
He throws him and beats him up a lot. They go outside into the barricade and then other stuff. But when I got something in the barricade, like, why'd you say that? Like, apologize.
Yeah.
Like,
so Ambrose was saying that to Rollins. Why'd you say that? Yeah. So to me, it's, and then he was also saying stuff like, he's holding up the titles, like, this is all you care about.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just, oh my God, so freaking good. Because there was also, if you notice, when they were doing the promos about how they're going to do it for Roman, it is super prominent that Rollins has his title over his shoulder. Like, it's like, no matter what's going on, he's still just like prominently displaying the fact that he is the Intercontinental Champion. Like, they've set up this over the course of such a long period of time, if you really think about it, because it's like Dean didn't forget Rollins turning, right? And him and Roman were just super tight after that whole situation, and they went through a ton where they were kind of both getting their ass beat, and they didn't have Rollins anymore. Suddenly the numbers game wasn't with them, and they went through tons of beatdowns afterwards. And then Rollins just gets turned on by Triple H, and so suddenly we like Rollins again. Even though Rollins didn't necessarily do anything to redeem himself, he just got turned on even harder. Yeah. And he turned on somebody, right?
Well, and this is why I think the whole Roman thing is maybe turned into a storyline. Because I think you could say Dean is now going crazy because someone close to him has a life.
Well, the guy who was there after Rollins turned on them is now gone. And now he's like, I got to go on with this guy? Like, you know?
They could say Roman's the glue that held them together.
Sure,
like, they could do so many things. And now this is a big controversy right now. Do you think they should have done it the same night?
Dude, I think it was the best night to do it.
Yes. Well, and I think it was already leading up to. If it would have been like a spur of the moment thing, and like there would have been no signs of Dean turning heel, but they've planted little seeds. And what we talk about in the business is you plant seeds until the perfect moment. Now, they may have been pushing this back for a few weeks or at Crown Jewel. Smart booking move here. Do it that night. Because now, and this is one thing too, people don't want to forget about Roman Reigns. So with this storyline, and now you can and this is what's so good too. You can move McIntyre over with Braun if they feud. If Braun goes over, McIntyre feuds.
Braun has a built-in first opponent for the title. Yeah,
and then Dean and Seth. What are they going to do with the tag titles? Are they going to? Is Dean going to go after the Intercontinental? Like, just such good flow.
Yeah, what the hell do they do with the tag titles?
That was one thing too.
They're going to have to defend those or something. Over. I don't know. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's been a tag. I forget. I remember there has been like people that are tag team partners that don't want to be.
Sure.
But they don't want to lose them either.
Well, Team Hell No was the most recent, I think, example of this, right? Where you had Daniel Bryan and Kane. But they weren't like actually feuding with each other. They just didn't really like each other and didn't really want to be together. But this is all
famous.
There you go. Yeah. And then that ended up blossoming into this amazing thing now with the bar. But this is a whole different dynamic because this is like Dean just snapped on him, right? Like, it was insane. And then the whole like ending where he pulls the shirt off and walks through the crowd, you hear people in the crowd like, why would you do this? People were visibly shaken by this in the crowd. And that's why I think this was the night to do it, because you want to get the best reaction you're going to get. You do it tonight, right? You do it right now when nobody thinks that you're actually going to have the courage to do it. This is one thing that I think we have to give WWE credit for lately, is they have been willing to take some risks, right?
And stepping up their game.
Yeah. And like the Hell in a Cell thing, even though I didn't appreciate it so much because I was in the freaking crowd, that was definitely taking a risk, you know? And
we talked about it. Remember, we talked about it for a good bit.
Yeah.
It was a good publicity stuff.
And this is the same. This is taking a massive risk here to have Dean pull this off this night. And in the way that he did too, where it was just, it was brutal and it was very emotional. So people have been posting a lot in R-Squared Circle, the subreddit about wrestling. And there was a few posts showing some of the old when Dean and Seth first started feuding after the turn and everything, because, you know, originally you had right after that, you had Dean and Rollins kind of fought for a while Roman kind of just immediately turned his eyes towards the title.
Yeah.
You know, it was this kind of interesting time where it seemed like Roman didn't care quite as much as Dean did, right? Like, it was like he kind of was like, I'm over it. Whereas Dean was just like hated Rollins, right? Like, they were just at each other's throats. And there was the let's see if I can find the post here so I can link it in the chat. But there was the match where they had a lumberjack match.
Mm-hmm.
And Ambrose hit Rollins with the curb stomp. And you could see and like the just how conflicted Ambrose was in that moment, like having to do this, because at that point, you know, Rollins is on the ground, just destroyed. Ambrose has just completely wrecked him, hits him with his own finisher, and he's just out. And Ambrose is supposed to be the lunatic fringe. He's crazy. He's, you know, maybe bipolar or something. I'm not exactly sure how far you want to go with that character, but he is also at this moment horribly conflicted by having to do this to somebody that he considered a brother. Right. And it was just such good acting. And this felt the same way.
Yeah. Cause he could say he's no longer a brother. Like he could do so many different things or like, and every, I loved heel Seth. I thought heel Seth was so good.
Me too.
But man, you could tell, especially Dean with all this muscle, it's going to be good. Like, and this is what Ross had that we talked about this last week. The worst viewing numbers. Was it in history? Of the past, like,
oh yeah, no, it's been, yeah, it's weeks. Been struggling, yeah.
And then in the it's starting to get really, really good. And I hate to say this, but I think next week with the announcement from tonight from Roman, viewership will be up next week.
Oh my god, yeah,
what's going on
because it's getting national news, like you said,
national, yeah. But they're picking up, and this is what always happens. It's like the freaking stock market. You're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna crash, whatever. WWE's going under.
Yeah, they're doing just fine.
They survived this long. Yeah. And with Evolution, and we talked a little bit about like Trish and Lita cut a good promo tonight. Is Alexa Bliss hurt?
Apparently she suffered a concussion.
So,
and I think she's actually out for Evolution.
And that, because with the promo tonight, it was Alicia Fox and Mickie James.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. But man, and that's what I forgot to talk about too. So Trish and Lita. So. Under what's the rule, like the Hall of Fame, the legend rule, can be booked outside. The reason why I think they wanted to be booked together, because it was supposed to be separately, they like being booked together for indies. So when you buy them, when you get them for shows, they have to be, as far as I know, booked together.
Interesting. Okay.
So we've looked for it before, because there's big Comic Cons in Ohio, Kentucky, all of our area. And we're like, hey, one weekend, if there's this, like the night before they go, we could have them on a show, but you got to book them together.
That's
why these Comic Cons. Yeah. So that's why I think with this, like just promoting them as a pair, because you can work them as a tag team or you can have them do a singles match.
So I remember Alexa was having some arm issues or something like that. She was like numbness in her arm and stuff like that. But she also apparently now has a concussion. So at least they're not talking about the arm numbness, because that's freaky. That's like some nerve damage type stuff. All right.
People were wanting to joke in that if it was her nose to her, where like the old Trish mask.
Sure. All right, well, we spent a long time on this and there's a lot to talk about, but just any like final words on this Raw? I mean, I think it was one of the most jam-packed Raws that I can remember.
It'll be a memory for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
This will be a Raw that'll be, because think of Daniel Bryan, that was one that, well, when he was retired, that people talked about forever, and now this one will be talked about for the rest of wrestling.
Oh yeah, no, think about 20 years from now, they're gonna show, you know, replays of this and then the heel turn and like all this, like, but it's just like, but even beyond that, like these two major moments all around the Shield. And by the way, I do also think a lot of people weren't super invested in this whole Shield reunion thing as much as maybe they thought they would be.
Robbed them.
Yeah. And now it's like it's just the craziest thing going
injuries,
on in wrestling.
We've kind of had it. And then Kurt Angle became the Shield, and then everyone tried to sub in, and now like we got it for a little bit.
And then
about it. You got to see the last pay-per-view that Shield could have.
That's true. Yeah, and they were all together. So I mean, just like final words, man, heart goes out to Roman. Hope that that he gets better, and we'll be rooting for him. I'll be keeping close tabs on what's going on with him, because this is a hard moment, man. It's a hard moment in wrestling. All right, we don't have much time, so we're probably going to have to skip some of this stuff, but we do got to talk real quick, because there is apparently tomorrow a announcement, an historic announcement to be made about Crown Jewel. And I'm thinking that announcement will basically just be around whether it's going to be in Saudi Arabia or not.
What do you think?
I'm guessing at this moment, it sounds to me Like, there is pressure from somebody. I don't think that pressure is coming. People have talked about it as
government official.
If Donald Trump were to give him pressure not to do it. I don't think he is, because he seems to be very much on the side of, maybe he didn't do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That kind of thing. But somebody, maybe in the United States, government, who's telling them that they don't feel that it's safe.
Could be Fox. Like, think of it. If something happens with Fox, with SmackDown going there, it could be the network.
Yeah.
Like the USA, not.
It could be the board that's not, because it's Vince's, chairman of the board, but there is a board. They are a public company. It's what it feels like to me is they're not necessarily just purely political reasons, but I think just safety reasons, right? Like, just this doesn't feel like we should be putting our guys at risk, If they're brazenly, like, first of all, murdering people, not even on their own soil, right? Or like it's essentially a Turkish consulate.
It's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon. It's upon. Certainly
murder is very frowned upon.
Generally one of the worst things you can do. But then, just kind of blatantly lying about it, kind of just all of this just seems so shady and sketchy. But then to now send your entire locker room over there. And then, of course, you had it was John Cena and Daniel Bryan, correct, who said that they did not have any interest in going. So we don't know exactly what it is, but they have announced an announcement. So
by next week.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah. So by next week's show, we will be able to report on exactly what's going to happen. But currently, I'm predicting that the pay-per-view happens. It just happens in a different place.
I think it will happen, because I think they have to, like, you got Sean back, you got all these things going on. You can't just say, like, oops, it's not like an indie show.
There's a lot of plate spinning already.
And if they can move it, but man, those Saudi Arabian people will be so pissed. God.
I mean, the money will, I'm sure WWE will make less money off of this, but think about how big this story has been, though.
It would be a respect move.
Sure. But think about how big this story has been around this, and think about, like, potentially the goodwill that the WWE can get from people by taking a stand, right? People will appreciate that if they don't.
Yeah.
So, and it could potentially be a PR nightmare to go forward with it.
Think if something happened.
Especially if something were to actually happen.
I hope nothing does happen. But it's the likelihood of the safety. You're putting people's safety at risk. Over money.
Yeah, there's no real amount of money, especially now. I mean, you just had the emotional roller coaster of Roman Reigns having to go. It's like, okay, if you're really gonna act like these people are worth more to you than anything than money, then you need to just demonstrate that right now, it feels to me like the right thing to do is to just move it somewhere else, not in America. They just had Australia, so maybe they go back to, like, the UK, or maybe they go, it's something where they give a big show to the rest of the world again. Because it's just, it would feel dirty to me to, at this point, go forward with the original plan. Robbie Fox from Barstool is reporting on Twitter that WWE is currently in the process of frantically scouting locations to move Crown Jewel 2. This is not definite confirmation that it's out of Saudi Arabia, but the location and date are unquestionably in major jeopardy right now.
This is just a mess. This is a giant mess.
Yep. I mean, this is not necessarily what you want to be talking about leading up to a pay-per-view. You want to be talking about feuds. You don't want to be talking about murder. we had so much to cover, but I really do. I think, next week there's a lot going on in wrestling right now. So this is going to happen sometimes, but there's a lot of topics that, me and Lane are going to get into that I think are going to be really fun for you guys. So we'll save this one, for next week, but
we always think there's not going to be a lot to talk about.
I know. And then it just
and I learned this from watching TAC.
Yeah.
The other podcast you do.
Sure.
And you guys always talk about, we didn't think there was going to be anything.
Yeah.
And then everything happened.
And then an hour and a half later. Yeah.
And I want to talk about, you and I have talked about WWE consistently the last few weeks. Cody Rhodes dropped the title this weekend.
That's true. NWA title is no longer. Yeah. It's actually, he dropped it back. He hot potatoed it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the Nick Aldis now is the champion again. I think the idea there is Cody Rhodes is, not necessarily ready to like tour with the NWA title. And he's their
guy.
The shows.
He told us is their guy.
Yeah.
And Cody Rhodes wanted to have it. His dad had it. He wanted to have it for All In.
Yeah.
I'm sure the agreement was, because remember at first with the All In announcement, it was Cody Rhodes versus whoever held the NWA title. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
It wasn't necessarily Aldis. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because they didn't know. And so they wanted to put it on a guy that they could. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like in the booking behind the scenes, it's like, hey, if you give this to me for a little bit, like,
yeah,
we'll get him back.
So didn't. My understanding was after All In, Cody wasn't really going to even be doing dates for a while because he was going to be taking a bit of a rest.
Like 3-4 weeks off.
Yeah. And now. Yeah. So also, have you seen his tweets that are somewhat cryptic? But so he's talked about how some of his tweets have talked about how right now wrestlers themselves have the most power that they've ever had, like independent wrestlers.
Yes.
And that promotions are essentially like holding the least power over everybody that they've ever had.
Absolutely.
And it's great to hear that because I've talked to me and Jerry. I remember when we were in Orlando, I was just like, it's crazy to me that wrestlers don't have unions in the same way that say like the major leagues do.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA players union, the NFL players union, wrestlers are all a bunch of independent contractors. Even if they have exclusive contracts with a company, they're literally paid like independent contractors, which means that you can withhold benefits. You can, you can kind of treat them however you want.
We got a little time here. Let me dig you into the deep. Let me tell you behind the curtain.
All right, sure.
So what happens is if you're a big name, let's say if you're a Gentleman Jervis, a Joey Ryan, Cody Rhodes, you can get a deposit.
Okay.
Usually you can get like a 30-40% deposit that, if it's the booker's fault, so the wrestling promotion's fault that it has to cancel either till...
Then you get to keep that?
Yeah. So they get to keep it no matter what. So venue or if something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And also, man, I've seen a lot of bad bookers because people said they treat them like dolls because sometimes the bookers will make the money, try to make the money at the door to cover all the workers. That's mm-hmm. not how it's supposed to go. That's not how you run a business. But there's people my age younger than me, 19, 20 years old, that think they can, and older guys too, that they think they can treat these people. And because what happens is, so let's say Willie Dills, you're an international independent wrestler.
Okay.
And I want to book you and you don't ask for a deposit. I'll ship you out. I pay for your flight. So you and I talk about flights. I do your flight, your hotel, and your cover fee. So usually if you're $500 and I'm shipping you from like, let's say Austin, it's about $150. And then I do your hotel. So I work that out with the hotel, try to get a discount there.
Yeah.
And then what I do myself, Lane Johnson, I'll pay for some of their meals. Just like a friendly thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't get paid till after the show.
Yeah.
So once everything happens, most companies, good companies, already have the money set back. Like no matter what,
we have the money for the wrestlers set aside, and we know we can pay it. Yeah,
paying the wrestlers first, because some of these people, especially like in the independent where I live, it's these people's jobs. They don't have real life shoot jobs like
sure.
like you and I do. Like they travel for $20, $30, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and like sometimes it's free. I know a guy that drove like from Ohio to Alabama for free. Just to try to get some publicity and like, but back. So let's say you're a worker, you do the show and then I'll give you the money. But sometimes like I know bookers that say like, hey, we didn't draw that well. So you get a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's, I've seen people get beat up. Yeah. I've seen like, but that, so you don't get it until then, but now people can ask for the deposits. That's now a big thing too. And that's, you set up your merch, you do all this. And sometimes the booker gets the merch, but I feel so bad for these people because I'm meeting them for the first time and basically I'm controlling their lives.
Yeah.
I'm controlling where you eat, where you sleep, but no, like, but yeah, you're right. Like anything can happen. They can ask for more compensation. If I do, I know
well, they have no, hey, they currently have no protection is like basically like yeah, if Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks are kind of what I think they're discussing is trying to create some sort of a national union. For wrestlers, mm-hmm. which would then, if you are represented by said union, would offer you protection from booking situations like you're talking about for, you know, for paying dues into it, what they do. You know, if you think about what they do for auto workers or whatever, you pay dues into the union, and then if things go poorly, the union has your back, right?
You know who Austin Theory is? You heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I saw him about a month ago get stiffed on pay.
Yeah.
And no hotel. This is a guy who, in the next couple of weeks after that, had a match with Velveteen Dream at Evolve.
Yeah.
And this guy, he looked at him and said, "Hey, man, didn't draw well tonight. I was going to get your hotel, but couldn't get enough money for that. So you got to figure that out. Sorry."
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he this guy runs away.
Yeah.
Sprints.
And that's, by the way, Theory is, you know, if you think about, like, there's a lot of guys now in the indies where I think a lot of people used to think of indie wrestling as, you know, just some old out of shape guy stapling some other guy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like that kind of crap, right? But no, these guys look like WWE wrestlers. They're doing moves that are oftentimes things that nobody in WWE does. They're in the gym constantly working on this craft. That it's not a cheap lifestyle to do.
Oh my gosh.
So
no.
Yeah.
And that's why
so
I like
they deserve to be compensated as such, you know?
And that's why I like paying for the meals. I like doing a little like, and of course they got to make, and this is, I didn't think about this too. They got to check more luggage bags because if they,
they're bringing merch out. Yep.
You gotta have your merch. And if you're on a longer tour, so let's say I'm a Friday night show and what happens is I'm flying you in from the show from the night before. And then that guy flies you in from where my show is.
Sure.
So he books the flight in Ohio, flies you out. So you could have 3 or 4 days that you're not home refilling your merch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so you better have a decent amount of it with you if you're trying to make some money. Yeah.
And some people don't. Like some people is just like, this is one Gentleman Jervis. He forgot his merch and him and I walked around town. And he's like, "Where's the CVS?" He felt so bad. He printed out all these 8x10s and handed them for free.
Mm. Just well, because he is a true gentleman.
I feel bad.
Yeah.
He actually really is a super nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's not just like,
it's not a character for him.
It's not a work. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, the takeaway is, you know, all this talk from Cody, all this talk from the Young Bucks, it really makes me hope that they follow through on this type of thing because it could revolutionize everything. It could essentially trickle up into the WWE because imagine a situation where there is a union for wrestlers and it actually starts to permeate the independent scene to the point.
I don't know if WWE would have it.
Well, but if you got to a certain point with it, to the point where people were wanting to leave the WWE because they get taken care of better if they're not in the WWE, then you can't really stop that progress if that were to happen. That's a long, tough road ahead of you if you really want to tackle that. But if anybody could do it right now, it's the guys like Cody and
Young Bucks. Ever get in this union, I'll let you know.
All right. Well, if this really starts to happen, I'm sure it'll be pretty big news because it's crazy that it's just never happened, really. Like you think about it.
Yeah. Like once you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't happen.
People get screwed all the time. Mm-hmm. And this would be a one way. And that's what, like, if I asked for a deposit, I would get laughed out. They would cancel me.
This is not uncommon in any type of job where it is considered like some sort of a dream job. If you think about like the music industry is very similar where there's not a lot of people really representing the artists with just their, you know, just to benefit them with their best intentions in mind. There's record labels who it's crazy. Like what they do, they don't even pay you necessarily. It's all essentially a loan. Yeah. It's crazy to me how this all works and how it's always just worked this way. And everyone just kind of is on board with it. And wrestling to me is very similar. It almost feels like they're treated the way like porn stars are treated, where it's like, you better show up with your own attire. You better show up with your own, whatever. If you get hurt, that's on you. You know, it's like the worlds are not that different.
And I guess that's why they work so well together.
Sure. That's why, that's why they get along so well.
And I think what you said, why no one, because I think why no one's done this before, because I think it's the old, it's never happened before, like the old tradition thing.
Mm.
Just because that's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
Does it make it right?
No, it doesn't.
Just because that's the way. And man, they've already changed the game. Daniel Bryan called the elite the four horsemen of their era? Like, they're changing the world as we know it in wrestling.
Yep, and I'm on board, man. I'm loving every minute of it. I can't wait to see where this goes from here. But just I like seeing these kind of tweets from him, because I'm just like, oh yeah, give me that sweet juicy indie versus WWE drama. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode. We had so much to talk about. It was pretty dense, but we got a lot in there, and it was a lot of fun. So again, if you want to support the show, if you enjoy what we do, patreon.com/1900wrestling is the place to do that. Lane, tell people where they can find you and what's going on with you these days.
You can find me at Lane the Main on Twitter. And if you want to add me on Pokemon Go, I'm really good about sending friend gifts. And Dills, where can they find you? What stuff you got going
on? Check me out on Twitter at Willie Dills. You get twitch.tv/WillieDills where you can watch this show live. And also you can catch me streaming the Hearthstone. Also check out the Angry Chicken podcast where I talk about the game of Hearthstone with Jocelyn Moffat and Garrett Weinzierl. And that is every single Tuesday. And there's just a lot going on in wrestling, a lot going on in Hearthstone, so it's a good time to be podcasting.
Got that dual class arena going on, man.
Oh yeah,
got that. Oh, yeah. Fire off.
In fact, I'm gonna fire this stream off here in a second, and then come right back with some Hearthstone action. So if anybody Perfect. Wants to check it back out, and yeah, check out this show. This show can be found on my channel, youtube.com/WillieDills. You can also find it on any podcast app that supports just podcasts in general, iTunes, all the other stuff. So just go ahead and search for 1900 Wrestling in those places. And that's going to do it for this show. Until next week.
Like me, remember the number the 1-900
Wrestling. Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump already.